Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
So, I just want to look at a couple of things. If you want to turn to Hebrews, I know we were in here last week, but I'm just going through some of these things at the moment. Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to look at Noah for a few minutes. And we love Noah, don't we? And we'll have a look at this guy for a few moments. Sorry if I don't burst into loads of songs this morning, because I don't really know many, but that was like a turbocharged message, wasn't it, on Sunday morning. It was like he was on steroids or something, but it was, wasn't he? When I picked him up from the for the hotel Sunday morning, he got in the car, and I'm like, "How'd you sleep?" He goes, "Great." He said, "Man," he said, "I'm ready this morning." He said, "I was a good lad yesterday." He said, "But I'm just going to preach this morning," and I'm like, "This is going to be awesome, right? Okay." So it was like I couldn't sit still in the car, you know. It was like, you know, waiting to get here to just offload. So it's great. Actually, before we turn to Noah, let's have a look in Matthew 16 for a minute. We will come back to Noah, but Matthew 16. Let's just start with something for a minute. This is the story where Jesus asked the disciples, who do the people say I am? So let's have a look at Matthew 16, verse 13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." But Jesus asked them, "Well, what about you? Who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ," or "You are the Messiah," or "The Anointed One." That's what that response meant. "The Son of the Living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock, on this revelation of who I am, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." I love that story. What's Jesus saying? He's saying, on the revelation of who I am, I'm going to build my church. Now, if Christ is the head and we are the body, then we need to be living in a constant revelation of who he is, because out of the revelation that we have of who he is, we know this is simple stuff, that we're going to live. But also, if Christ says, "I'm going to build my church on the revelation of who I am," and he's the head and we're the body, the head doesn't have arms and legs sticking out of itself just up here somewhere. It has a body so that what's in the head can be then done, fulfilled. So it's like Christ is saying, "I'm going to build the church, but I'm going to do it through the body." So God builds his church through you and me. So we can say, well, we don't build the church, Christ does. Absolutely, but he does it through us. So every one of us, therefore, then are builders of this thing called the church, that is built from a revelation of who Jesus is. Now, all of us live out of whatever revelation of God. All of us will lead out of whatever revelation of God that we have. So we either preach, lead, minister, live, talk, believe out of whatever the revelation is, whatever we see, whatever we understand, whatever we've perceived from the Holy Spirit that God, who God is. Now, if we're to see this church, I don't just mean this one, but the thing, this thing called the church on earth, then we need to be living in revelation of who Jesus is, because we understand that Jesus has won the victory over sin, over death, over the devil, over hell. If he has won the victory over all of that lot, the greater revelation that we have of who he is and what he has done, in one sense, if we put it this way, the greater we will move in the things of God and see the church built on the rock of who Jesus is. So a couple of questions that I've been asking myself. What am I living in, or what am I living in victory over? Because I'm only going to live in victory over the things that I've had a revelation of who Christ is and the victory he has won over them. And therefore, what victory am I living in and what am I living over? Another question I've been asking myself, in relation to living in victory then there needs to be something that I've been winning in the Spirit. Now, if he has already won everything for me, then there's something I can live in, but I need to believe what he's won for me so that I can live in it. Are you with me for a minute? Okay. But there's some victories that I need to win so that I live in something that he has already won for me. But there's victories that I need to live in so that I live in this victory all the time. So, just to give an example, in Hull a couple of weeks ago, on the Thursday night, this lad came up onto the stage, or was called up onto the stage. He only was given a month to live. And he told his story very, very briefly. The guy who was speaking and ministering, the way his response, the way he shook his head and said, no, 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 no. It wasn't just a heartfelt, oh, no, 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 mate, no, that's not going to happen to you, from an emotion. It was like, it sounded to me when I heard it, like something was already won in his spirit over a sentence of death that had been spoken over somebody's life. That it wasn't at that moment he suddenly had to find faith for that victory. But the guy was ministering, it was like the no, no, no came from I've already got the victory over that. I'm living in a place of victory over cancer that says you're going to die. I'm living in victory over a sentence of death. That was the place that he was living in. So when that moment came, it wasn't suddenly, I've got to get the victory now in order to see something happen. He'd already won something in the spirit at another time, and he was living in something so that as he was walking forward or moving in the anointing or in his life, something came that would say something very, very different than was possible in the natural. But in the spirit, he was already in a place of victory. He'd already won something. So when this thing said to him, I'm going to die, I've been given a month to live, it was like, no, no, no. And then what happened was, boom, this guy basically was healed because he had already won the victory. Where'd the victory come from? The revelation of who Christ is and the victory that he had won. Now, we all know that Christ has won the victory over cancer. We all know that he has won the victory over AIDS. We already know he's won the victory over, deafness, blind eyes and all that kind of stuff. But that doesn't necessarily mean that we live in a place of victory over it, where when these things come our way, boom, that we've already won it, we've already got the victory, and therefore these things just get dealt with on the way. Do you understand what I'm saying? And what Jesus is saying to Peter here is, look, on the revelation that you've had, that I'm the Christ, I'm the anointed one, I'm the Messiah, I'm the Holy One of God, on that rock, on that revelation, I'm going to build the church. But in order to build the church, you've got to have that revelation, because I build the church through you. I'm not just going to do it from heaven directly. So you've got to be a person or a people of revelation. So the greater revelation you have, the greater this thing called church is going to be on the earth. So I want to build this awesome thing that's going to represent my kingdom on earth. It's going to look like my kingdom, life and power on earth, but it's going to come from a revelation of who I am. So I've been sort of just grappling with some of this. Well, not grappling, God speaks about this, and he begins to speak to you, doesn't he? And it's not that you have to suddenly stand up and walk around your room trying to get victory over this or trying to get victory over that. Because victory is a thing called faith. And God can speak to you and he releases faith that then gives you the victory, where you're not trying to win it in your own strength. But as he speaks, he releases faith. That faith rises up and says, that's done. This is not going to have. And as we move in that, then what comes against us, we already have the victory to see it changed, to see circumstances line up with whatever the truth is or whatever God wants to do. Okay, let's just flip that now over to Hebrews and have a look at Noah for a minute. Okay, Verse 7, by faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By faith, Noah. I love those. There's loads of these in this in Hebrews 11. This phrase, by faith, somebody then did something in response to the revelation that God gave them. So by faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen. So Noah was going about his business, going about whatever he was doing, however many years ago it was. And one day God rocked up into his life and said, hey, Noah, you haven't got a clue how to build a boat. You've never seen rain in your life, but I'm going to speak to you something that in the natural would sound ridiculous, would sound impossible, or is that really going to happen? But I'm going to speak to you because I just need somebody who's going to believe. And that's all I'm looking for initially, is somebody who will just believe what I'm going to say. Because if I can find somebody that will just believe what I'm going to say, then they're going to act upon it. And so God walks into Noah's world and he says, basically, I'm pretty cheesed off with the way people are on earth. And I've just about had enough, and I'm going to do something, and I'm going to flood the earth and everything, but I want you to build an ark and get your son, your family, your sons and their wives and X amount of animals in this thing, and then I'm going to relaunch everything a little while after that. And so Noah, by faith, acts upon something he's never seen rain, nowhere near the beach. And yet this guy starts to build this whacking great thing that is impossible when you look at the dimensions of it to be able to float. It shouldn't be able to float on water, apparently. And so the whole thing's a supernatural venture. So God speaks to this guy and he begins to act upon it. Now, how many of you know, and we all know this, when you act in faith, in the natural, it looks ridiculous. What are you doing? But the thing is, Noah had revelation of something from God that something's going to happen. And he was so convinced on the inside that the reality of what God has said was stronger than the circumstances on the outside. The reality of what he'd heard from God was stronger than the voices that began to, over that 100 or so years. I mean, I don't know if any of us in the room are going to live 100 years, but it took him over 100 years to build this thing. And so imagine what that was like. Sometimes we get taunted, or somebody has a bad word about us, or there's a bit of a negative thing that goes around about us for some reason. And there's always a little bit of truth in something, isn't there? But then the enemy exaggerates it and make it sound like we're all just nasty, horrible people. And actually, you just didn't smile at somebody one day, and suddenly, oh, that person doesn't like me because they don't smile at me, and la, la, la. It all gets, and suddenly, you know, he's not a very nice person, is he? And it goes from that, you know, and sometimes we get cheesed off when that happens. Well, imagine living for 100 years with people constantly saying to you, what are you doing? What is that thing? We haven't even seen, you call it a boat? We haven't even seen a boat. And you're saying, it's going to rain one day. Don't be ridiculous. No, you're an idiot, Noah. I mean, imagine that for 100 years, being encouraged like that. By your neighbours, by those that live around the corner, by people in your community. I mean, what did he live with for 100 years? Imagine in Horsham, you know, or Crawley, wherever we live, you know, that all the people that God told us to do something that was so like out there, and every day it was like, you know, Clive, he's that idiot who's, you know, who's doing that thing. I mean, it's never rained. Well, we can't say that bit here, can we? Because it's always raining. But let's pretend. Use your imagination, as we were talking about on Sunday. You know, we've never seen rain, and yet he's building this boat in his back garden, you know, and this whacking great thing. It's going to rain. God, you know, the earth's going to flood, all this sort of stuff. I mean, what would it be like to be taunted for 100 years? Yet it says that Noah believed. He stayed faithful to just a few things that God said that for him to do. So he had a revelation, and on that revelation, he began to act even though he'd never seen something, but he believed God. Then he said, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. That reverence or fear of God is key. I think when you've heard from God and when God has spoken to you about something, something on the inside of you, no matter what anybody else says, kicks off on the inside of you, because you know it's like I have to do what God has said. I must do it. And it's like this fear of God, this reverence of God. I've got to be obedient. Not because not from a I have to be, I must be, or God's not, you know, not from that kind of thing. But there's such a conviction. This is what God said to me. This is what God has said to us. This is what we believe he's saying. This is the direction we're going in. We're convinced. This is what we're doing. And this is what he said for us to be as a people. So we're going in that direction. We're convinced. And when God has spoken, there's a reverence or a fear of God saying, man, we can't do anything else. We can't do this, that, or the other, because God hasn't said to do that. We've got to do what God has said. So in one sense, in holy fear or in reverence of God, it's like the things that God has been saying to us, we can't back down. We can't shrink back. We can't step back and say, well, even if some people don't understand it, even some people don't get it, even if you know we have opposition for whatever reason, we can't back down, because actually the fear of God or the reverence of God or the conviction of what he said is stronger than anything that might come against us, whether it's the devil, whether it's people, whether circumstances don't seem to add up. It's like, no, God, I'm convinced there's this reverence, this fear. I have to do, I must do, because you want to, but there's this, I must do it, I've got to do it, I've got to pursue this, because anything less, it's like, we're just not going to see what God wants. And Noah lived with that kind of, in holy fear, even though for 100 years or more, every day, people came out with their prehistoric machine guns, you know, their verbal machine guns, to say, you're an idiot, you're stupid, what on earth are you doing? Doesn't make sense. You know, all of that. And when God speaks, he'll always say something that is beyond where we are, beyond what we've seen, beyond what we've known, so that we stretch out for it, as we were saying last week, and we press into it. But that's where the life is. That's where the living water is, because the living water will always flow in the direction that God is going. And the living water will always take us to where the living water is needed, into dry ground. So in Isaiah 43, when it talks about forget the former things, do not focus on the past. You know, do you perceive this new thing that I'm doing? And he said, there's streams in the desert and rivers in the wasteland, or rivers in the desert and streams in the wasteland, whichever way around it is. And the wasteland is where God isn't. And we have this living water, but the living water will always take us to somewhere dry, because God wants to produce life where there isn't any life. So in holy fear, he built this ark to save his family. Now, that was obviously his immediate natural family, but also for us, God wants to save a lot of people. And he wants to bring them in to himself. If we call this, for Noah, it was the ark. That was God's protection for him. But God wants to bring them into himself. When you read through Exodus chapters 5, 6, 7, and 8, where it talked the whole Noah story there, I was reading a bit of that last night and this morning and everything, that there's a lot of stuff in there, but God's quite particular, isn't he, about the ark, how long, how wide, how high, how he was to do the roof, and various things. Very particular about how many animals. He wanted 7 of this, 7 of that, 7 of the other. And some that were clean, some that were unclean. Then he said, I'm going to bring 2 of each kind, male and female, so that they can repopulate after the flood. And God was very specific about what he did, you know, and the numbers of days that it rained, and then they were on the boat, how long it took to subside afterwards, and all of those things are significant in terms of what God was doing. But it's interesting how, when it's not going to take 100 years for us, it might feel like it sometimes, but it's not going to take 100 years, but God has spoken and we're preparing. Now, it's not that God's not doing anything. And this alignment that we're talking about, it's like Noah had to get everything into alignment, and then the rain came. And it's like there's alignment that God is doing with us at the moment, spiritually, mindsets, thinking. And we've talked about this before. Organization, leadership, relationship, finances, all of that. It's all alignment, getting everything ready for the rain. And God releasing something that's going to transform a lot of lives, a lot of people. And it's interesting when, yes, they had to get all the animals, but also God said to Noah, get all the different kinds of food that you're going to need on this ark, on this boat, so that the whole time you're on it, you're going to have all the food you need to feed yourselves and all the animals. And it's like there's some spiritual food in that sense that God's saying, make sure you've got all the food you need to feed everything and everybody that's going to be on this thing. And so it's not just about our own life and what food, but that we're ready in every way, ready to feed the people that are going to be coming onto God's boat, as it were, or into the church, that we need to have all the food, everything ready to be able to feed people exactly the right diet, what they need to see them set free, to see them built up, to see them become the disciples that God has called them to be, so that like those animals had to then reproduce when the floods went down, that God wants to not just reproduce through our lives, but also those that are going to come onto the boat or into the church, get saved and added, and as they get fed and built up and strengthened, then they begin to multiply and reproduce as well. So we're going through some stuff, you know, and the weekend was really encouraging about the direction and where we're going. And God's just getting a whole lot of stuff aligned. And this phrase that I think I mentioned the other day, God say, get the cart ready for the horse. It's not putting the cart before the horse. It's getting the cart ready for the horse. And God's saying, I'm ready to move, but you just got to make sure the cart is ready. So spiritually, in your thinking, your mindsets, in your leadership, in your organization, in your relationships, in your finances, all of that, that everything's in place. Because once God begins to release what he's doing, there ain't going to be time to keep stopping and trying to get things on the cart that weren't on there. Hang on a minute, we've got to go back over there. And it's like God said, no, I'm ready to go, I'm ready to go. And I'm just getting everything in place with you guys. And as you respond, like Noah did, took him 100 years to build this ark. It's not taking us 100 years, but what it shows is blooming faithful to the word of God. But God's saying, just get everything ready. Do everything that I'm telling you to do and do it as quick as you can, as well as you can, all that, because there's no time to waste, because I'm ready to move. I'm ready to release what I want to do. So I believe we're a really amazing moment. As I said the other day, well, I don't know where I said it, but something, you know, it's been an interesting last few months for me personally. You know, after Andy's message on Saturday morning about the glass of water and David and his mighty men and everything, and some of the things that are in the book that he didn't talk about as to what you go through as a leader or leaders go through, you're living with this deep down, you know what God has said, and you're living for stuff, and you're thinking about things, you're praying through things, we're talking about stuff. You want to get it right because you don't want to get it wrong. But you don't want to get so to the coal face that you don't do anything because you're scared of doing something wrong. I think sometimes God says, look, it's in your heart. I've been showing you. Move towards it. And as you move towards it, I'll clarify more and more. I'll show you more. But just move, just move, just move. And do whatever I tell you to do. Get on the cart, whatever you've got to get on the cart in terms of what that means. And just do it. But just move, move, move. You won't get it 100% all the time. But that's fine. My grace is big enough to make up for where you don't quite juggle the balls properly or put everything in place in the right way. That's fine. That's fine. But just move in the direction that I'm telling you to move. And there's all of that seated down here in the depth of your being, but at the same time, there's a bombardment of other stuff that goes on. The enemy loves to piggyback onto anything, and as Andy used that phrase, about, you know, that story about the combination punches that he was talking about. You know, the enemy sometimes comes in with a few of his own combinations and there's, you know, negative thinking there. Look at that circumstance there. Oh, you haven't sorted that out there. Look at this here, and oh, that's not very good there, and what are they doing over there? Well, look at yourself. You're a blooming idiot, you know, thinking you can lead this thing. And there's all this stuff that goes on constantly in your head and other things that happen around to try and suppress, to try and push down, to try and squash, you know, your faith, to try and restrict, you know, your decisions and the actions that you need to take and make and everything. And there's this constant pressure. And I know over the last 2 or 3 months, probably more than any time in the last 7 years since we initially made all the changes in our leadership that we did 7 years ago, more than any other time in that 7 years, the last 3 months for me have been the hardest, the most difficult internally in terms of just, if you can say, oppression, if you like, not depression, but oppression from the enemy to try and but yet I know deep down, when we use this example of the hourglass, thank you, you know, Kingdom Faith being this international ministry over the years, and the last few years God's been funneling that right down to the, you know, where the all the sand has to go right through. And there's been some pressures in different ways, and we've had to change things and reorder things and get things in place. And for me, it's a sense that we're just coming into the things just about to begin to open out in a whole new way for this. And we're right at that point. We've been there for a little while, and it's about to kind of open up in that way. And in here, I know that and everything, but yet at the same time, there's this, what are you doing? You're taking Kingdom Faith up a cul-de-sac. You know, this isn't how it used to be. This is different, and, you know, different is wrong, and all this stuff that the enemy is just bombard you with and all of that. But yet deep down, you know, no, God has said this. God has said that. God has said the other. Somebody's confirmed it from there, and they don't know anything that we're doing, really. Somebody else came in, or they sent an email, or they phoned me up, or been praying for you. I don't know where you're at, Kingdom Faith, but I just was praying for you, and God said this to me about, you know, decisions you're thinking of making or what's on your heart to do. And I just felt God say, ring him up and tell him he's right on track or they're right on track and keep going and all of that kind of stuff. So in the midst of sometimes this kind of, you know, what is this really, you know, God saying, no, keep going, mate. And that message for me Sunday morning, going through the fire and going through the water, it was like, thank you, Jesus. You know, that was just the kind of message. And the way it was given, you know, in that very kind of off the chain, you know, kind of style and everything, was actually liberating, was freeing, because sometimes you feel like, okay, we've got to break through, we've got to move forward. And if you're not careful, you get so serious about everything and that it takes the joy out of it. And I know that was a real message for me on Sunday. And just the joy, there was a lightness in it, but yet it was deep. There was a joy in it, but yet it was weighty, you know. And so, you know, it's just an interesting time that we're going through, and it feels like that sometimes, a bit of turbulence and a little bit bumpy. But yet, you know, God said, no, keep going, because you get through that, and then you know, it's smooth air again, and the air's, you can see where you're going, and all that kind of stuff. So by faith, Noah. By faith, Kingdom Faith. We're told about things not yet seen. And in holy fear, they responded to God, and they, in line with Christ being the head, they began to build the church in the way that God wanted them to build it. So 21 years ago, God said, this church is to be one church in many locations. That's God's design. That's his blueprint. That's what he spoke. Now, it's not just going to happen because he spoke it. He speaks it into a bunch of people like you and me, and then we respond to that because we believe it, and we say, okay, God, what does that look like then where we are? Let's get on with it. And then we put actions to that, we put things to it, and that's part of the repurposing of what God's been taking us through the last few years to get us to this point where he's repurposing us so that everything else we do flows out of this one church, many locations, and what's happening in our own 25-mile radius. So it's exciting. And then it says, he built this ark in holy fear to save his family. This 25-mile radius is our back garden, our own mission field that we got to look after. And we work with lots of other people elsewhere, and they're looking after their gardens. And they can encourage us, like Andy's been here over this weekend, encouraging us and saying, come on, guys, keep going. This is brilliant. You're doing good. And then he comes and encourages us and helps us. And then we do that with other people where they are. And it's all part of this kingdom people on earth moving together, encouraging, inspiring. Be who God's called you to be where you are and in the things he's called you to be doing. So this kind of relentless pursuit, you know, sometimes you can feel like, wow, we're still going. Yeah, come on. You know, and that's why this living water is so important, because he's the one that sustains. He's the one that gives energy. He's the one that revitalizes us, and he's the one that breathes life into us. So we want to constantly draw on him, because at the end of the day, without him, it's just a load of stuff we're trying to do, and we'll be knackered trying to do it. That's a Greek word, that one. For tired, and you can delete that off the recording. But what's the revelation that we're getting? Because from that revelation, we'll live in victory. From that revelation, we'll walk in what God is saying and doing. So that's a personal thing for all of us, but it's also corporately how we go forward. And some of the challenge for us is God is redefining what the church looks like for us. Now, the body of Christ is the same. The body of Christ, being a member of how it all function work, the body of Christ is the same. But how the church is expressed in terms of it, what it looks like, and that's some of the transition we're going through, from being primarily one church here with another one in Crawley to we're one church in two, Worthing three, and 4, 5, 10, 15, 20 locations over the next however many years it's going to take to see that happen. But it's like, wow, that's different than... But that's God's intention. That's God's blueprint. That's God's plan. And we want to respond to that and say, yeah, it will mean change. It will mean more change. Probably in 18 months' time, we'll have to rejig the whole organisation structure again, or adjust it to fit what God is doing. And so we've got to have this kind of organism mentality about who we are, that if the church is a living thing, then there's going to be growth and change, and stuff has to then be reordered to fit what the growth and the life is that's taking place. So I'm sure stuff's going to change again in a little while, and there'll be adjustments here and there, and we all put our hands in the air and go, brilliant, we love change. But change is here to stay. So when it's like that, it's great. And remember, we're not here for a role, but for the goal, in that sense. So if what any of us is doing changes, it's like, well, that's okay, because I'm not here for my thing. I'm here for the big thing. And if that means what I'm doing slightly changes or changes a lot, then that's okay, because I'm here for the bigger picture. I'm not here just to do what I want or what I think or how I've done it before. And it's like that. Obviously, we want to work around giftings and graces, because you're not effective outside of those things. But it will mean, change. It's changed for me a lot in the last 6 months. I don't have the same hands-on contact with some of you guys and others in the way that I did. I'm working with more directly with less people than I was, and that's been a shift for me. I've had to trust people more. There's different conversations that go on now, And I've got more time to do some other stuff. So my schedule in any given week has changed. And so even though my title might be the same at the moment, some of what I'm doing is different. But it's got to change in relation to what God is doing and saying. So we've all had some changes, and I'm sure we'll all have some more changes. But that's the way it's going to be, I think. But if we keep in mind the big picture of what God's doing, the goal and not the role, we need to know what our roles are, but there's the goal of what we're going for, which is revival for a generation, turning the tide of a godless society, whether it's in Horsham, Crawley, in a town, in the region, whether it's working with other churches, other Kingdom Faith churches, or partnering churches, or whoever else it is, like guys like Andy Elms and others that we know, it's working together to see that outworked. Other people may have a different way of saying that, but that's basically what is on people's hearts, to see a massive transformation in our towns, cities, communities, regions, and our nation. So that's what we're in this together with other people as well. And a bit a vehicle for us is One Church, Many Locations, how God wants us to go about the vehicle of it. But it's about dispossessing the enemy. It's about repossessing people's lives. It's about people being saved, set free, households, families, all of that kind of stuff. So God is saying to us, the ark bit, if you like, is One Church, Many Locations. And he's given us some stuff as to what that looks like. And so we've just got to move, continue to move to see that outworked and people getting saved and added into that, discipled and maturing and then reproducing. So there's loads of work to do, loads of stuff to do, but it's exciting. Brilliant. Let's stand together, shall we? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you what you have revealed in our lives as to who Jesus is. Father, I'm amazed, Father, really, that over the years you've given such a breadth of understanding and revelation of who you are from the Word. And that we're so rich in revelation, so rich in who you are and what you've revealed and the history of and the inheritance of who we are as Kingdom Faith, what we have. Father, we thank you for Pastor Colin and Caroline's lives and who they are and what they represent, what they've lived for, broken through constantly to see take place. We thank you for their leadership and their lives that have been such a great example to press on, to advance, to go forward and to be relentless in the pursuit of seeing everything that you've said take place. And Father, I thank you that you're not just building around a person and an anointing, but you're building around a people. And Father, we're a legacy of their lives, and probably other people's lives as well, but we're a legacy, Father, of what we've been part of, what's been sown and fed and invested into our lives. And we thank you for the legacy that is living in us. And Father, I thank you that in this season, you're moving us from an international ministry to an apostolic church, and then apostolic ministry flowing from that apostolic church. And Father, I thank you that's about the anointing abiding and resting on everybody. And that's why you're saying everybody's significant, everybody's important, everybody's got a part to play. There's nobody that is just here to make up the numbers. Nobody is just to do a job. And in the same way, Father, that in your word, the outward things on a physical body are often seen for what they are, heads, hands, legs, feet, but yet some of the private parts aren't seen, but yet often it's the things, the private parts that actually are the ones that reproduce. They're the reproductive organs, and they actually have a key role to play in reproducing the life that is in the body. And so, Father, I thank you that no matter whether what we do is more visual or whether it's hidden, Father, I thank you that often things that go on behind the scenes actually are more effective and produce more because they help to reproduce stuff and make things happen and all of that than necessarily some of the things on the outward that get more noticed. So, Father, I thank you for every person in this room. I thank you for every person in the church. Thank you, Father, for who they are, what they carry in you. And no matter what any of us are doing, whether seen or unseen, Father, I thank you that every person is significant. Everyone is important to the reproducing of who you are, your life, and your amongst us and through us. And Father, I thank you for an increasing just revelation of who you are, greater understanding of who you are, so that on this rock, on that revelation, this church and Kingdom Faith Church, and whether here or around the country, in other places, is built on the revelation of who you are, so that we are moving forward in greater victories over the enemy and over whatever it is we need to have victory in. We thank you, Jesus. We praise your awesome name. Father, I thank you for a greater revelation of you so that we live with greater victory. Father, I thank you that's connected with this dynamic of faith, this spirit of faith that you've given us, that you've blessed us with. And I thank you for that increase of the spirit of faith as we advance and as we go forward in you. Father, we thank you for just the beginnings of the opening out of this hourglass where you've kind of brought everything into quite a tight space for a while, and it feels like we've been pressed on every side but not crushed. We've been pressed in on every side, having to work through stuff, get things into alignment, readjust finances and readjust structures and organization, readjust thinking, readjust relationships, readjust leadership, readjust just stuff, how we think and everything. But Father, I thank you so that you're preparing us. For this new season, I thank you, Father. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you, like Noah, he must have had pretty tough skin to resist 100 or more years of constant negativity, being the butt of jokes and probably all sorts of stuff. Father, what would it have been like? Maybe some were amazed and were like, "Matt, wow, you know, what you're doing, you know." But many, from what we understand, the word says he would have been taunted and ridiculed. But yet he stayed faithful. And Father, I just pray that you would enable us to just stand against popularity or wanting just a good reputation or name from other people, but instead the fear, that holy fear, would have a stronger grip on our lives, so that we say we must stay faithful to what God has said, we must stay true to what he's doing. And I thank you that leads to salvation, it leads to fruitfulness, it leads to your purposes being fulfilled. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know whether any of you guys I've obviously shared a bit about what I was going through, just some of the challenges and what felt a bit oppressive at times and all of that. I don't know if anybody else has been going through any of that kind of stuff. And I know sometimes whether God led me into that and he's led me out of it, or, you know, he allows some of that to happen to refine our faith and prove it is genuine, to see what we do in the middle of that, that we continue to say, thank you, Jesus, I know what you've said. Everything in me feels like I can't even lift my hands to praise you because it just feels like this is so hard, such hard work to even do that, let alone anything else. But yet your word says, will I praise you? And in the midst of that, do I say, Father, even though everything in me feels like this is just mad, I thank you, Father, that you said stuff. I believe you. I'm going to continue to walk in you. I'm going to continue to go forward, continue to make right decisions. I'm going to continue to thank you. I'm going to continue. I don't know if anybody's been going through any of that kind of stuff recently. God, I don't understand exactly what's happening or why it's happening. The change is going on. I can't quite see it. Maybe you just need to lift your hands this morning and say, Father, I thank you that you've got me where you want me. I thank you that you're leading me through whatever I might have been going through or still feel like I'm going through. I thank you that the mist clears, the fog clears. I thank you that you give me eyes to see what you're seeing. I thank you that you, in the midst of this stuff, there's revelation that comes, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In the middle of the fire, they suddenly realized the ropes had been burnt off and they were free, and they danced in the fire knowing that even though this thing's not burning us, we're free, we're liberated, you've done it, we're alive. And Father, I thank you where any thinking needs to be broken off that's not right, or stuff that we're just struggling with, not because we've done something wrong, but just because there's challenge in in terms of moving forward and where anything like, Father, I thank you that there's a breaking off of that. There's a loosening off of all of that right now. So there's a freedom and a liberty in the process where we can be full of joy. We can move forward and say, Father, even though I don't quite understand, even though I don't necessarily see everything, but by faith, I'm going to take hold of you right now, like Noah did, like Abraham did, like others did. And I'm still going to move forward and believe what you've said. And I know that I'm coming into the goodness of who you are. I know I'm coming into that jubilee. I know I'm coming into that abundance. I know I'm coming in to the clearance where instead of can't see the wood for the trees, I think, you know, coming into a spacious place where things are going to be happening. And because it's been a challenge, when we get into that clearing, it's going to be like, wow, this is God. That none of us will be able to say, well, because we did this, that, or the other, that's why we're here now. Father, I thank you. It's going to be even more an awareness in our lives and a revelation that stuff's happening because it's just you. And so, Father, I thank you for what you are doing. Thank you for those people that responded on Sunday, both here and in Crawley, that gave their lives to you. Thank you for others that got healed over the weekend. And you did some deep stuff in other people's lives, that chains were broken off. And I thank you for the encouragement and the strengthening of the body over the weekend. And I thank you for that constant encouragement on the journey. Keep going, guys. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Keep pressing through. Keep advancing. Don't shrink back. Don't step back. Don't stop to have a look around and enjoy the scenery at the moment, because there's something I'm taking you into where you're going to be amazed at what you see. You're going to be in awe of who I am and the things that are going on. So just keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Keep moving forward. Don't get off the bus, but just stay on, because there's a destiny called jubilee. There's a destiny called abundance. There's a destiny called fruitfulness that I'm bringing you into in a new way. So just keep going. Keep advancing. Don't let up. Don't shrink back. Just keep going. Keep moving. Father, I thank you for that tenacity, the spirit of faith that enables us to keep advancing, going forward with faith. I thank you, Jesus, for everybody in the room, everybody in the church. Father, I thank you for that oneness, that unity, that harmony. I thank you that you lead us forward in the way that you are at this time. And I thank you, Jesus, that you're going to add many people coming from even from other places because of their skills and giftings that you want to add into the life of the body, as well as those being saved and added and everything you're going to do in them and through them. Father, we thank you for a heavenly mishmash of ages and colors and languages and nationalities and backgrounds, such a mismatch and hodgepodge of people that you say, this is my bride, this is my family, these are my children, this is my army. Father, I thank you that you bring together such a mixture of people and you say, that is beautiful, they are beautiful because that's my bride. Look at who they are, look at what I'm doing. Look at what is happening. Father, I thank you and I praise your name. Praise your awesome name, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name. Praise your name.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.